straining forward. That's our congregational theme for this year, 2023. That doesn't sound right, does it? You know, as we begin a new year today, certainly it's a time of reflection, I think, for all of us. It's a time for looking forward. It's a time for resolution. And if this year ahead, if it's like all the other years that God has blessed us with, I can assure you that it will be filled with ups and downs. It will be filled with highs and lows. It will be filled with gains and losses, maybe some triumphs and even some tragedies. And brethren, when you think about it, that's just the nature of this life. There will be good times and there will be bad times. And some of the good will be as a result of our own doing, and some of the bad will be a result of our own doing. That's just the way that it is. That's the way that it's been for me, certainly. But some of the good will be as a result of others, and I will benefit from your good. And some of our bad, some of our hard times, some of the hurt, well, it too will be as a result of others. Their sin, their doing. That's the way, at some level, that this year is going to go. And the question becomes, I think for all of us, the ultimate question: how will we prepare? But ultimately, how will we respond? You see, the truth is, if history is any indication, and often it is, some this year are going to allow the circumstances of this life, they're going to allow those things to define them. And they're going to allow the hard times and maybe even the good times to question their faith, to weaken their faith, to become even enamored with the things of this world. Maybe the good circumstances to even cause them to swell up with pride and consider their victories as a result of self as opposed to God, who gives all good things. When things get hard, some will blame God. Some will view God as a result of their circumstances as unreasonable and unloving, as a result of Him allowing this hurt to occur. And as a result, they're going to drift away from God, maybe to the point of leaving Him altogether. And that's tragic, is it not? But then there will be others. They will use the time that God blesses them with this year to prepare for the good, to prepare for the bad. They'll use the time that God gives them to come to a better knowledge of Him and His will. And they're going to engross themselves in His promises, and they're going to cling to them, and they're going to study their Bible daily, and they're going to pray fervently daily. And as a result, they're going to prepare themselves. They're going to increase their faith for the good and the bad that's going to come this year. And they're going to view the good as great blessings from God. And they're going to trust God in their hurt and pain. And they're going to turn to Him for guidance and protection. And they're going to be content with His discipline. And they're going to allow God to equip them in His will to serve and to minister to others. And they're going to grow in the faith. And the question that becomes for all of us is, who will you be? What will you be this year? Whether good or bad, will you press on? That's our theme. Or will you shrink back? What about this past year? Did you shrink back? Did you drift away? Or did you press on? You know, obviously, I didn't come up with this idea of pressing on. This idea of perseverance is found throughout Scripture. And so much of Paul's writings are designed to encourage us, his brethren, to press on, to stay in God's will, to not give up, to grow in our faith, to grow in our resolve, no matter what. If you have your Bibles this morning, and I hope you do, we're going to camp out in Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to look at some familiar verses together this morning. Most of our sermon is going to come from Philippians chapter 3. I'm not going to have the verses on the screen because I want you to look in your Bibles and I want you to read it for yourself. Philippians chapter 3, I want you to begin reading with me at verse 7. Listen to what Paul says. This is his perspective, and I hope it will become ours this year. He says, "But whatever things were gained to me, these things I have counted as loss because of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them mere rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Verse 11 says, if somehow I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Right here in this passage, brethren, we have a description of what Paul was all about, what drove him, what made him tick, his life goal. And for Paul, all of the accomplishments of his past, all of his gains, when compared to knowing Jesus, when compared to having a relationship with his Lord, suffering with him, even dying with him, one day being raised with him, victory, that was what Paul was all about. Nothing else meant anything to him in the grand scheme of things. That was his sole focus. Why he did the things that he did. Why he gave up the things that he gave up. Why he loved the way that he loved. And then if you drop down to verse 12 in our text, it says, not that I have already grasped it or have already become perfect. Listen to this. Paul says, but I press on. And if I may also take hold of that which I was even taken hold of by Christ. Brothers and sisters, I don't regard myself as having taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, hear this, forgetting what lies behind, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, verse 15, all who are mature, let's have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God would reveal that to you as well. However, let's keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Brethren, number one, I take from this text, and I hope you'll take from it as well, when we talk about this idea of pressing on, number one, is recognizing that I haven't obtained it yet. Brethren, for every single one of us who are here this morning, we have not obtained it yet. Paul says, not that I have already grasped it at all, not that I have become perfect. He says in verse 13, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. You know, brethren, this spiritual journey that we're all on, we're on the same path. We have the same goal. But the truth of the matter is we're all in different places. You know, some have been Christians for many years. Others are just beginning their journey. We have different experiences that have shaped our perspective. We have different levels of maturity. We're at different places, different levels of knowledge and understanding. And hear me, that's okay. And we need to remember that by way of patience and tolerance with one another. But one thing that we definitely all have in common, we've not attained it yet. We've yet to reach our goal. We haven't crossed the finish line. And if Paul hadn't attained it at this point, brethren, we haven't either. And brethren, that leads me to my next point. In light of not being there yet, in light of not being what we need to be yet, in light of not crossing that finish line yet, Paul says that pressing on is making growth in Christ my highest priority. I want you to listen to what Paul says here. In verse 12, he says, I press on. In verse 13, Paul says, reaching forward. In verse 14, he says, I press on toward. You know, there's no doubt that the idea of pressing on and straining forward, that's the emphasis here of this passage. And Paul here pictures a runner in a race. And the words that he uses here, they indicate a level of intensity. It's an intense endeavor. There's a level of seriousness and focus that comes with running this race. It's the same terminology that's used in other places in Scripture that speaks of a hunter eagerly pursuing his prey. And brethren, as you picture this runner running toward the goal, the finish line, muscles bulging, sweat drop dripping off their face, giving everything they've got to simply win that race, to finish that race. Brethren, that's the picture. Now, as you picture that in your mind, I want you to take a step back. And when it comes to our ultimate goal of truly knowing Christ, when it comes to the goal of growing in our faith, when it comes to the goal of becoming more and more like our Lord and Savior, let me ask you, how would you describe your level of effort? How would you describe your level of seriousness? How would you describe your level of intensity? Would you liken it to a runner that's giving maximum effort? I want you to listen to verse 12 again. Because I want you to appreciate what Paul is pressing on to. The ESV renders it, and I really like it. He says, not that I have already obtained this, or am already perfect. He says, but I press on to make it my own. Why? Because Christ Jesus has made me his own. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me, little old me, his own. Don't you love that? I press on to know Jesus because he knows me. Jesus has taken possession of me. He certainly pursued and captured me so that I would take possession of him. You know, for Paul, that day on the road to Damascus, Jesus captured him. And like us, for Paul, Jesus left the glories of heaven. And he came to this earth. And he took the abuse. And he took the insults. And he died the most horrific death on that cross that one could die. And through his blood, as we've been reminded of this morning, a sinner like me and a sinner like you can be forgiven, justified, redeemed in spite of my sin. And I can live forever in heaven with my Lord. I don't deserve that. You don't deserve that. But Jesus captured us. And as a result, for the reasonable heart, I want to know more about him, the one that done that for me. I want to imitate him. I want to suffer for him and with him. I want to please him. And I certainly want to follow him. And brethren, as a result of what he's done for me, there's some intensity about that. There's some passion. There's some diligence. There's effort. There's, as one writer put it, a dogged determination. What are you dogged determined about? I'm pursuing Christ above all else. Is that you? Is that me? You know, over in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 1, I believe Paul to be the writer, but I can't be certain about that. But I want you to listen to Hebrews chapter 2 at verse 1. Let's see the pages turning. Hebrews chapter 2, listen to verse 1. The writer says, for this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Why? So that we don't drift away from it. For if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every violation of act of disobedience received a just punishment, verse 3 says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? After it was at first spoken through the Lord, it was confirmed to us by those who heard. Here's our problem, brethren. It's not that we don't want to know Christ. It's not that we don't want to be pleasing to him. If I went down the aisles this morning and asked the question, do you want to be pleasing to Christ? Everybody, for the most part, I think is going to be, oh, yeah. It's not our problem that we don't want that. We want to please him. We understand that it's reasonable to know him and to please him in light of what he's done for us. And it's certainly not that we don't want to go to heaven. You're here this morning because you want to go to heaven. So we're not forsaking our salvation altogether. We're interested. Paul uses a word here that I unfortunately can all to relate to. Neglect. You know, brethren, when it comes to my pursuit of Christ, being like him, following him, standing for him, knowing him. You know, the problem with me is often I'm just not deliberate about it. I'm not intentional by way of study. I'm not intentional by way of prayer. I'm not intentional by way of sincere worship and praise. And here's why. Because I'm really busy. Are you busy? You know, oftentimes somebody says, well, Justin, you're just so busy. Well, I'm busy just like everybody else. You're busy. Those of us that are raising children, we're busy, right? When they get into school, they get involved in things, and those things are good, and we just get busy, right? We're really, really busy. Neglect. I'm busy with other things that have no impact whatsoever on what on me reaching what I claim and profess to be my ultimate goal. That being with my Lord in heaven for all eternity. See, that word that Paul uses here, neglect, it just simply means careless. Brethren, the writer says, here's the answer. And this is what we've got to do this year, brethren. He says we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. Let me say that again. We must pay much closer attention to what we have heard. And if we don't, Paul says, so that we don't drift away. Drifting's easy, isn't it? Drifting's easy. Here's a question for all of us. Are we drifting away or are we pressing on? Here's a question for all of us. Have we been neglectful by way of our pursuit of Christ? Neglectful in knowing Christ, in being like Christ, in following Christ. Have we been neglectful by way of preparing for eternity? Are we drifting away or are we pressing on? Only you can answer that. Only I can answer that. And when I think about neglect, I think about Hebrews chapter 12. Where Paul returns to this race runner analogy as he thinks about heaven and winning this ultimate prize. Would you go over to Hebrews chapter 12 with me? In Hebrews chapter 12, a familiar passage to you, I want you to hear verse 1. Because if you're like me and you're struggling with neglect, neglect that leads to drifting away as opposed to pressing on, I want you to hear Hebrews chapter 12 because there's a remedy here. Listen to verse 1. Paul says, therefore, since we also have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. Let's stop there. What a beautiful idea, right? We have people in our lives who have gone on before us. We have those that we can read about in Scripture who ran the race, who finished the course, who did it. And therefore, I know I can do it too. He says, let's rid ourselves of every obstacle and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let's run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking only at Jesus, the originator and perfecter of the faith, for who the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, running with endurance the race set before us. Brethren, is akin to pressing on. And when it comes to my too often neglect of what should be the driving force of my life, Paul highlights my issue and possibly yours right here in verse 1 where he says, ridding myself of every obstacle. Other versions render that weights. And it pictures the runner running this marathon with weights tied to him. And he's not talking here about sinful things in and of themselves necessarily, because he differentiates that in the next phrase. But hindrances or obstacles nonetheless. And that leads me to another question. What's hindering me? What's contributing to this attitude of neglect in my life of the things that I would profess are just most important to me? Are there things in my life that are getting in the way of prayer? Are there things in my life that are getting in the way of daily study? Are there things in my life that are getting in the way of even assembling with the saints on the first day of the week? Are there things that are in my life that are getting in the way of doing the good for others that I know that I need to be doing? Are there weights in my life? Are there obstacles in my life that I just simply need to shed so I can run? Even those things that are in and of themselves not necessarily sinful, but have become sinful as I've elevated them to a position that is standing in my way of ultimately reaching my professed life goal of knowing Christ, serving Christ, and ultimately being with Christ for all eternity. Brethren, as we run this race, a race, I remind you, of eternal consequences, we've got to shed these things. We've got to shed anything in our lives that are hindering us from pressing on. Obviously, the sinful things in our life, but even those things that are not sinful in and of themselves. How often does it just come down to neglect? And I ask the question again, are we drifting away? Are we shrinking back? Or are we pressing on, brethren? You see, pressing on is recognizing I haven't obtained it yet. Pressing on is making growth in Christ my highest priority. And then number 3, pressing on is being singular in my focus. I want to go back to our original text back there in Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to pick up there in verse 12 again. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Paul says, not that I have already grasped it or have already become perfect, but I press on, if I may also take hold of that for which I have taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, he says, I don't regard myself as having taken hold of it yet. And then he says this, but one thing I do, one thing I do. What's your goal? And I realize we have many goals, right? This is a time for resolution for the new year, maybe. Maybe you want to lose some weight like me. Maybe you want to eat a little healthier. Maybe you want to be more productive in your work. Maybe you want to have better time management in the coming year, whatever it may be. And those are fine goals, right? But that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking, what is your goal? What's driving everything about you? You know, in verse 13, Paul repeats again, I haven't taken hold of it yet. But he says, but one thing I do. He says there in verse 13, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. You see, brethren, being singular in our focus, Paul says, it requires letting go of the past. Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. You know, brethren, it is so easy for us to allow our past to define us, to allow our past even to paralyze us at times. We can even allow the good in our past accomplishments, the good that we've done for people, the way in which we've served others in the past, or maybe even our families have done. Whatever it may be, we can allow the good of our past to cause us to be complacent, to rest on our laurels, so to speak. And then on the other hand, and this is probably most of the time that the case for us, we can allow our past failures, our past sin, things in our past that we're ashamed of for good reason to keep us from pressing on. How about this? We can even allow the sin and hypocrisy of others, the past hurt of others, the things that people have done and said to us and our families in the past to keep us from pressing on to the goal. You know, for Paul, like all of us, there was all of that. And no doubt there were past accomplishments. If you go back in the context of the text there in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about how if he wanted to, he could boast, he could brag. He could brag about his past accomplishments as a Jew in the flesh. He could do that, both good and bad. But I want you to just appreciate his perspective, the perspective of one who is insistent on pressing on. Go back and just read verse 7, beginning again. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, he says, these things I've counted as lost. Why? Because of Christ. I've counted them as lost because of Christ. In other words, no matter what, I press on, I strain forward. Now listen to verse 14 one more time. Why do we press on, brethren? Paul says in verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The NIV renders it, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Brethren, here's why we press on. Here's why we don't give up when things get hard. Here's why we keep going even when we suffer for keeping going and doing what is right. Paul says, it's all about the prize. It's all about heaven. It's all about being with my Lord for all eternity. He made that possible for me. He made it possible for you. He died for me and he died for you. John chapter 14, don't turn over there. Just listen to it. John 14 at verse 1, don't let your heart be troubled. Jesus says, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you? For I am going there, Jesus says, to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Jesus did that for me, and he did that for you. So I ask the question again. What will 2023 hold for us? Well, there will be good, and there will be bad. There will certainly be times when our hearts are troubled. There will certainly be those times when people let us down, when the people that we love hurt us. There will be those times when brethren disappoint us and let us down. There will be those times of uncertainty, maybe times of sickness. And we may bury loved ones this year. When you look back at the last year, how would you describe it as it relates to the spiritual journey? This race that we're all on. Did you drift away? Did you shrink back? Or did you press on? What about this coming year? Will you drift further away from the prize? Or will you strain forward to it? I bring all of that up because that's a question that we're going to be asking a lot throughout this year. And there's a man in Scripture that we're all familiar with. His name was Joseph. And as I study his life in the latter part of Genesis, I read about a young man who became an old man, who epitomizes the spirit of pressing on, straining forward no matter what, running to God, refusing to leave his will, and ultimately allowing God to work his divine plan through his life. And in the spirit of pressing on no matter what, I want to spend some time with his life. And see what we can learn. We're going to break his life into quarters. The first quarter of this year, we're going to talk about how Joseph was a product of dysfunction. In the second quarter, we're going to talk about Joseph's steadfast morality, making God-pleasing decisions in the fire, so to speak. Look at what Joseph was thinking. In the third quarter, we're going to look at the idea of choosing to forgive, not allowing the hurt and pain of others and have caused us to hinder our spiritual growth and ultimately pressing on. And then in the fourth quarter of this year, we're going to look at a study of God's providence, appreciating how God was working through Joseph and Joseph's role in allowing God's plan that seemed impossible at moments, but allowing it to ultimately come to fruition. What does it look like? So I want you to be praying about that. I want you to be excited about it. I want you to invite people to come and hear these lessons. They're going to be most practical in nature. We need these things. We've been through a lot over the last few years. We need these lessons. We must persevere because eternity depends on it, brethren. As we close this morning, I want to confront you with one more passage that was written to a people who had to decide, like us, whether they're going to press on or whether or not they were going to shrink back. And in light of what they were going through, pressing on or shrinking back after reminding them of their faith in the past, I just want you to listen to the writer in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 35. I'll put this one on the screen. Hebrews 10, listen to verse 35. The writer says this: "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But brother, I want us to hear verse 39. And I want this to be our mantra here at the Kenwood Church of Christ. "But we are not among those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith for the safekeeping of the soul." Brethren, we don't shrink back. Not one of us this year, 2023. We don't shrink back. We must press on. Heaven depends on it. Where will you spend eternity? You know, if you miss heaven, hell is all there is. Where will you spend eternity? Brethren, pressing on is recognizing I haven't obtained it yet. It's making growth in Christ my highest priority. And it's being singular in focus. A focus that matches my professed goal of being with Christ in all eternity. If you're not a Christian this morning, I would encourage you, I would beg of you to consider your soul in light of eternity. Are you right with God? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Would you be willing this morning to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins? If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you'll have no qualms with confessing it before this audience as the unit did in Acts 8. you're not a Christian this morning, I beg of you, consider your soul in light of eternity. But maybe you're here like the vast majority of us that are here this morning. You've taken those steps. You've been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. And I hope and pray that our lesson this morning has caused you to do some reflection. I hope it's caused you to look forward. Set some goals this year. Let's be more deliberate by way of our goal of reaching heaven. If you're not a Christian, why don't you become one while we stand?